Solid Families would like to thank Hoosier Ice House for being a proud sponsor of the Rock Solid Families podcast. In the heart of historic Lawrenceburg, Indiana, the Ice House is at the corner of Vine and High Streets. The historic building evokes a feeling of comfort with spacious indoor and outdoor dining, a large bar, and comfortable dining areas. Large enough to host parties, yet intimate enough to feel like your favorite neighborhood restaurant. So thank you again for the Hoosier Ice House for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast.
Welcome to Rock Solid Families podcast. This is Merle Hutchinson alongside of Linda Hutchinson. Guess who's got the tan this week, baby?
How was Florida?
It was pretty good. It started a little cool, but it warmed right up. And my goal was to not wear long pants at any time. And I made it.
So
one day I was a little cold.
So if you are just now tuning in to us for the first time, we've been taking turns in working remotely with my dad, visiting my dad. And so when I went, I brought one pair of pants and one sweatshirt, and I wore that puppy for 3 days. And finally I was like, maybe I should wash that. And sure enough, the sun came out, and I didn't have to put them back on again.
Yeah, no, I was a little bit luckier than that when it comes to the weather. Yeah. So it was all good. But now we're back in the saddle.
It actually was, I thought, very productive. I don't know how you use your time, but I really felt like not just spending some time with my dad, but I got some work done.
I worked from 8 to 12 every day. And after that, I said, no, I'm done. And so afternoons, I did my stuff.
But we're back at it. And we're in this beautiful, we got snow. Mm-hmm. If you're, whenever you're listening to us, we finally have some snow on the ground. But before we get to our topic today, we want to thank our sponsors for just sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. We want to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions, Maxwell Construction, and our newest sponsor, the Hoosier Ice House, for their support of what we do here and really our ministry in general, hon. Rock Solid Families is a 501c3 faith-based coaching organization in the greater Cincinnati area, right across the bridge in Southeast Indiana. And so if you're not familiar with what we do, if you're just kind of Googling and finding this message today, we really would love for you to check us out at rocksolidfamilies.org. But what are we talking about today?
All right. You remember Tom Brokaw?
Yeah.
Yeah, the news guy?
Yeah.
Right? And he wrote the book after he retired out of the news world, and his book was The Greatest Generation. And The Greatest Generation was about the World War II generation, right?
Did you read that book?
No, but I heard about it. And so but our parents are of that generation, right? And so, and the folks a little bit before our parents even. And so I have at least looked at this topic today as at this point, and I hope we're not done writing this book, okay? I want to change this title. But right now, we're looking at the saddest generation. Mm. We're looking at the saddest generation. And these are, you know, what we would think of as our entitled children, that they seem to have it all, but they're becoming the most saddest generation of modern times.
Yeah.
And guys, we're pointing this out because we're seeing it on a regular basis walk into our office. We're seeing teenagers and young adults that are walking in, and it's just kind of mind-blowing because the hope for many of them has already been stolen, and they're just young, right? I mean, you're supposed to have stupid blind hope when you're that young, right? Yeah. And so already we see this. And so the question might be, what went wrong? And as we always do, we talk about what's wrong, but then we're not going to spend time pointing fingers because that's just a waste. We want to get to some solutions, some things that we can stop the handicapping.
So we see a lot of Gen Z come into our office, okay? But do you know the newest generation, what it's called?
Yeah, I just heard it the other day.
We're starting over again because we had Z, right?
So it's double
Generation Alpha.
Alpha.
And so 2010 to 2024, kiddos born this year are going to be in Generation Alpha. But the Gen Z is what we're talking about. The teenagers, the young adults who are just 14 and over, who are just feeling depressed, anxious, kind of feeling hopeless, feeling, you know, like they are missing out on the FOMO thing, missing out on fear of missing out. And so we're really talking about, how did we get here? How did we get here to the saddest generation, which is what we see? And really, hon, you have a verse that kind of goes along with maybe little hint of where we're going.
Well, it starts off with the idea of how did we get here? And the idea that we've gotten here because in all of our good intention, I don't think anybody started with ill or bad intention, and that was we want to give our kids mm-hmm. a better life than what we had. We want to give them what they want, right? Mm-hmm. And so by doing this, it's gotten to a point where we've created a lot of kiddos that think they are the most important thing yeah. out there. And so Philippians 2, 3 through 4 reminds us a little bit about how we should be operating. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, each of you considering the needs of others. Yeah. And so just the idea that you're going to take the time and you're going to look at somebody and say, you know what, you're at least equal to me in service, and I need to consider what I'm doing here and how it might impact you versus, well, I really don't care about you. It's I've got to get what I've got to get.
Yeah. I've told this story before, but I was just sitting around at a sports game with another parent waiting for our child to be done. And she mentioned to me that she intentionally was becoming a yes mom because her mom was a no mom. And so, and I asked her, like, what does that mean? You know, and she's like, oh, I made a commitment before we had children that whatever my children wanted, if I physically can possibly do it, I was going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think she wanted me to pat her on the back, but I was really saddened by that because that was really going to set up our children and their children for that disappointment of, well, of course I want that. And I've talked to employers before, hun, many employers who are just blown away by the Gen Z who come in and they want to be making those six figures the first month of work. And when they don't get it, they'll just hop to another job or they'll quit because they are disappointed. They're not making the money like their superior is or their manager is. And it's like, man, we are setting up our children to be the saddest generation.
Yeah.
Unfulfilled.
And ill-equipped, right? So ill-equipped. And so I think part of what we're talking about today is we thought we were equipping them with more things and more stuff and more opportunities than ever before, and they are now more handicapped. And so one of the outcomes that we see, I'm in the middle right now of reading Brain Energy by Dr. Charles Palmer, and he's through and through, he's talking about the elevation in depression, anxiety, ADHD, bipolar, and really across mostly the 25s and unders is really where this is popping hardest, okay? And so the idea of why in the world, in what should be the greatest times, are we suffering with the worst? And so I really think, honey, it comes down, there's a lot of reasons, so we don't want to just like say, well, it's just because of this. But in a nutshell, people's expectations are not being met. And when I say that, they expect that they will get what they want.
Now.
Yeah, they expect. So when you have a high expectation, and we always talk about how you should have high expectations. Well, if you have a high expectation of you getting what you want, then you're going to be really disappointed when you walk out of your parents' house and realize, this isn't working for me.
Yeah. Well, of course, we're living in that microwave, Google anything you need right at this minute generation. And so we've kind of set ourselves up for disappointment. You mentioned Brain Energy, which I'm going to start reading that one. I got a couple that I'm working on right
so
now.
So far, it's pretty cool. Yeah, it's very
but
good.
The collapse of parenting, I'm reminded by Dr. Leonard Sachs, where it talks about, you know, parents kind of collapsed the structure that their parents and grandparents had set up for them, thinking that they were doing their kids a favor, and it actually has handicapped them and ill-equipped them. And so we've got struggles, obviously, with a higher divorce rate and blended families and co-parenting and addiction and depression, and COVID, hun, just kind of threw a gigantic gasoline on that fire that was already smoldering.
Right. Yeah. And it didn't start the fire.
No, but man, it definitely accelerated. It was an accelerant. And so we saw this huge epidemic come in, especially in our office of the Gen Zs, that, you know, as little as almost, you know, 10, 12, 13 years old that are just feeling hopeless. And I'm like, wow, that's just so sad.
All right, let's change the chapter.
Okay.
Right? Let's get out of the hopelessness and let's empower. Let's talk about things that we can do now and in our upcoming days of parenting, how we can view things differently and approach our kids differently. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So these are seven. Get your pencil out, get your paper out, get your phone out, whatever you want to take notes in, and say, these are seven ways to not handicap our kiddos. All right. Ways to not handicap
them. So first of all, you got to name your target. You got to plan a strategy. Okay. We've talked about this so many times before about what are your values, right? If you're going to shoot for nothing, you're bound to hit it. So you've got to lay out what it is you want for your children. What is it want for your family, and lay it out and make a plan to get that.
Yeah. Hun, when the next one, point two, is don't handicap your children. Mm. And, you know, we've learned this with our own parents. And one of the things you learn as you're taking care of your parents as they're aging is you feel like you want to do everything for them. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Dad, don't worry about that. I'll get up and I'll get your coffee. I'll get up and do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, people in that business of serving old people will say, no, don't you dare get up and get your dad's coffee. Mm. If he's still capable, have him go do it, because that is the thing that keeps him going and moving, because he's got to get up and exercise and so on. Yeah. And so the same thing actually starts with our kids. When your kids are capable, you have to start to back off doing for them. And we talk all the time, hon, that this really starts between the ages of 2 and 3. This really starts when we're seeing, hey, our kid is capable of picking some of those toys up off of the floor. Yeah. And at that point, it's no longer, well, I'll just go pick them up because it's faster. No, it's like, no, you go pick them up. And so when your kiddo is capable of doing these things, then you bring them on at the level that they're capable of.
Yeah. So John Roseman, who we've had on our, best-selling author and psychologist, he wrote so many books. And one of them he was talking about, I think it's Parenting by the Book. And when we had him on, he was talking about the grandma's three R's and the responsibility, the resourcefulness, and the respect. Those are things that we can expect out of our kids. We don't have to handicap them and do everything for them. We don't have to tie their shoes every time it's done. And then we don't have to fix everything that gets broken, encouraging them to find a way to do it. So respect, responsibility, and resourcefulness are the three R's, grandma's R's, he called them, that helps you not to handicap your children.
Yeah. The number three point or number
way,
three
way, not
way,
to handicap.
Way not to handicap is I just kind of threw up the phrase, no blood, no foul. Okay.
Man, my dad used to say that one time.
Oh, yeah. So in other words, stop rescuing your kiddo from every little bump, bruise, and pain, or fall, or scuff. Again, this has been taken to the extreme, so please hear me. We're not saying push your kids into trouble. What we're saying is let them fall. Yeah. Let them get scuffed up. Let them cry. Let them have some pain, because that is a far better instructor than anything else you can do to make sure your kid got their way. All right. So let them experience it. And again, no blood.
Yeah.
And you know what? Deal with a kiddo. It's not that big of a deal.
But we're not just talking about physical challenges. We're talking about emotional ones too. So rescuing them emotionally, whether it be coming to their defense with a teacher or stepping in with the coach, or, you know, let them try to work through those difficulties and those conflicts in their own, so that they become stronger. They're working those conflict resolution muscles. And if we keep saving them, no blood, no foul. I mean, if we keep saving them, we're not going to really help them in the long run.
Yeah. The fourth point, this comes from Jesus.
Jesus says, I did not come to be served,
but to serve.
Yeah.
If you really want to help your kids at the earliest of ages, you want to teach them the absolute importance of serving others. Mm-hmm. It's the only function that we all have that keeps us going, guys. I don't care whether you're owning and operating a business. Mm-hmm. I don't care whether you're a school teacher. It doesn't matter. You have to do it in the way that you're going to be serving somebody, because you are not a king, and people are not going to bow down and serve you, right? And so the idea here is, from the earliest of age, you teach them how to serve. You give them opportunities to serve. Hun, this is in particular, like, and I'm not going to just point this out for the sake of bashing anyone. I don't know how sometimes parents of single children, only child, raise them without, or with how difficult it is to get them to serve, because it's so easy to serve an only child.
Yeah, because there's no one else to compete with.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
To do for.
You parents of their only children have to work even harder to say, I got to find ways to help my kid know that they've got to be a servant to others. Yeah.
I was thinking you're going to say single parent. It's hard because single parents who are in this mindset, I've got to do,
yeah.
it's exhausting. And yeah. so, you know, one quick example is, you know, at the dinner table, when we leave, when we get up and we're done, everybody helps. We're clearing yeah. the table. We're putting things in the fridge. We're putting things in the dishwasher. We're rinsing them off. We're wiping the table. No one leaves the kitchen until we're all done.
Yep.
And that just teaches like, hey, we're a team. And I don't care who cooked it or who cleaned, but we're all going to do it together. And that just mentality of like, I'm here, like you said, I'm the king and you're here to serve me. I have so many parents that do that for their kids. It's just not healthy.
Yeah. You ready for number five?
Sure.
Number five, this is something that we see in the schools often, but this is the idea of what's praised is repeated. And so if there's a particular behavior that you're seeking and you're wanting, you've got to quickly get your eyes on it, see it, recognize it, and you praise it, okay? Mm-hmm. And so if your kiddos are doing something well, then you want to make sure that you say, hey, you know what? That was really nice that you did that, or I really appreciate yep. that you helped out here with this. And so you do not have to give them a reward of toys, money, food. You don't have to do that. You just say, you know what? I greatly appreciate that.
And false praise really is not healthy either. Like, don't inflate them into something like, oh, you really failed great at that test. You know, no, you want to, and you want to really praise things besides grades. You know, we've talked about this in right. other schools or in other shows before. You know, we want to praise the effort because the kids can just go cheat. They can go sneak those grades somehow and get those A's. And if you keep praising that, and that's what you need and that's what you want, but show them that the effort and the attitude, those are the things you praise, okay? Not that they're pretty, but that they take care of themselves or they're kind to other people. You know, praise the qualities in people that are really not just surface stuff, but in the long run are going to be more beneficial.
Yeah. All right. Number six. This one just drives me crazy.
I was telling you about that story. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is no is not a curse word.
Oh goodness. Right? We're gonna get hate mail for this one. By the way.
I don't care because it's so bad. I mean, hon, this came from our generation and just the generation a little prior to us buying into some of that 70s and 80s psychology of that you should never frame anything up in the negative to your kids. You should always bring it back around and frame it in the positive. And here's why this is not good. The world does not really care about your negative or your positive. You're going to get taught lessons, all right? You're going to get a no in life, whether something doesn't work out for you, you didn't get what you wanted, it didn't come your way. No is part of the reality. It's part of the balance of how you grow and learn, all right? And so, no, you don't have to yell and scream the no, okay? You don't have to be a jerk about the no, but you should actually allow your kids to experience the no. Mom, can I have some extra candy before dinner? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't do that.
And don't negotiate. We've talked about this before a lot. Don't negotiate. Like, well, I tell you what, how about if we don't eat it now, but after dinner, like, no, just say, nope, sorry, babe, we're not having candy before dinner. You know? And so you don't have to explain yourselves. This is just to inform them what the rule is. Okay. And so when you explain to a child a bunch of, you know, like almost apologize for what you're doing or ask permission, you really handicap a child thinking like they're the center of the tension and they get to call the shots as an 8-year-old.
Guys, here's something you got to remember. We all need physical strength. We need mental strength, but we need emotional strength. And no is the weight that we pump to get emotional strength, all right? In other words, if we're always told yes, we have no friction in our emotional fabric. And so when it finally does get pulled and is taught, it rips and it tears. Yeah. Now, here's what's interesting. Kids don't want to hear no, but parents are also saving themselves from having to say the no because many of our parents owned the emotional distress that their kids were experiencing because of the no factor.
Yeah.
And so it's like this is we have to use the no and the yes in a good balance so that we constantly build the emotional integrity and strength of our kids.
Yeah.
So please, you don't hesitate and you use the negative as well as the positive, right? Again, there's the pendulum swings swings widely, right? Yeah. And so we're not talking about beating our kids up all the time with the negative, but they do need to experience the negative well off when they're young, so that when they get into their teens and later they go, you know what, this is just another bump in the road. I've got this.
So I'm going to throw a little disclaimer in there, because I was just hearing this recently on a talk show that I listened to of a team of therapists, and I can't remember which one it was. It's on New Life Live. I listen to this daily podcast. It's a counseling podcast, but they were talking about, even when you are saying no or setting limits or disciplining, that there would be this awe, and they said that A stands for affection. Okay, you still love on your child, you still give them a hug, you still put them tuck them into bed, even when you're disciplining and saying no. The W is warmth. That I'm not being this ogre and this nasty person that just pushes you away like, no, you know. And so the warmth that you feel like, sorry, buddy, not going to do it tonight, but come, you know, we can read a book tonight or whatever. And then the E is encouragement, okay? And so A-W-E, that we should always really strive to have this all in our home, where our children feel loved and accepted and warm and encouraged, even when we are setting limits and we're saying no and not things like that. So yeah, I just thought that was cool.
I like the idea, because at the end of the day, your job as a parent is to do these discipline measures, encourage your kid, but to maintain the relationship.
Yes.
If you're delivering the no with a sledgehammer, you eventually harden the kid's heart. And so the later relationship, where you really do need to get some work done on some hard issues, they've already shut you off. And so I need to deliver that heavy no with a lighter touch, in terms of just like, hey, I still love you, bud.
Yeah,
you
bud.
Know,
yeah.
I mean, that's what a good father does. I always think about that. It's just like, you know, when my dad delivered the hammer, he also always came back around and expressed the love for us kids. And so that's what kept the relationship going, so that later on in the years, we could still, hey, we never second guess whether we could talk with Dad.
Now, which reminds me of an equation that we've used a lot of times before: rules minus relationship equal rebellion. So if you have the rules, like, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that, and there's no relationship, you don't have the awe factor,
right?
Then you are going to have rebellion. You are going to have pushback. And so we got to have one with the other. And so what we're saying is, but let's not handicap our kids by throwing it all, you know, together, thinking this is how I love them, this is the best thing for them. Because as you said at the top of the show, this is the saddest generation we've ever really had.
Yeah. Okay. And our seventh point to help you not handicap your kiddos. And this is a little bit of a contradiction in one of our trainings. And that is, we do a training called Who's the Boss? And it's all about the idea that you and the home are the boss. But that's technically not quite right, because we do that. We kind of took God out of the picture, because we do that lesson as a generic lesson, all right?
No, it has to be secular.
As a secular part. But teaching your kids who the real boss is in life. And this is the idea that, you know, this is God himself. God designed the play of family and parenting and how we raise kiddos up, all right? And so the idea that you have to resort to yourself as saying, I'm the boss, you have to listen to me. At some point in time, that's going to be questioned, all right? And at some point in time, you're going to have to say, you know what, to be real honest with you, I'm just doing as I have been instructed to do. I'm following a much greater plan, something bigger than me. And so giving credit to God here that, hey, listen, we are working and pleasing God in how we parent.
And so again, on almost every show, we are talking about the top three priorities that we want you to live by. We want you to teach. We want you to model for your children. And that is, God is number one. He is our boss. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords on the throne. And then each other as spouse and self, you've got to show them that we're not going to let you rise into this entitlement, okay, where you're enabled and just, you know, really spoiled to a point where it's not healthy and you're not going to be happy in the long run. And then after your marriage, then comes the children. And so when you put those top three and the big rocks in first, man, the work and friends and fun, all those things kind of fall into the right place. And so, yeah, God is the boss.
Yeah, I always like the idea, hon. We've talked about this before, how important it is that we teach kids to be leaders and leaders and leaders. And the idea here, you and I know, and older folks start to recognize recognize good leaders can only be great leaders if they're great followers of Christ.
Yes.
Ultimately, I mean, you can get somebody with a dynamic personality and just a magnetism mm-hmm. about them and just the intellect and all that stuff. Mm. But if they're leading you in the wrong direction,
yeah.
right, that doesn't make them a great leader. And so great leaders have to have a bigger boss in mind.
Who was the San Francisco quarterback that just lost the Super Bowl? Brock Purdy. That is the perfect example of that, yeah. man. Like, he leads that team and he took them to the Super Bowl. But at the end of the day, when he was interviewed after the Super Bowl loss, he was basically saying, in the grand scheme of things, this doesn't make the top three.
Right.
And I surrender, and I am under the lordship of the Jesus Christ. And man, that was such a testimony. And I am so thankful that there are people out there like Brock Purdy that he would yeah. just remember who's the boss.
Yeah. All right, guys. So as we wrap things up, we want to give you guys the challenge. And the challenge is just this. You know, are you handicapping your kids? So have a good look around your parenting in your house this week and think about how you actually are hurting your kids, not in the short run. In the short run, you feel like, yeah, you know, I'm getting them what they want.
They're happy with me.
Yeah, but in the long run, are you really equipping them to have physical strength, spiritual strength, mental strength, emotional strength? I mean, are they going to have that fabric within them to be able to do the hard things that life's going to demand?
Yeah. And if you're struggling on how to do that, please give us a call. We would love to walk alongside you. This is what we do every day. And we have got so many people out there who are really working the plan, and they're doing the hard stuff, having the hard conversations, but really seeing such peace, such joy when we put those big rocks in first. So again, you can call us at 812-576-ROCK. That's 812-576-7625. Or you can reach out to us at our website, rocksolidfamilies.org.
All right. Also want to finish up by thanking our sponsors again. We want to thank Maxwell Construction, Casey's Outdoor Solutions, and the Ice House Restaurant for sponsoring the work that we do here on Rock Solid Families.
Speaking of which, our partnership banquet's coming up on March 7th.
Oh, so don't forget.
If you would love to... would like to come and be a part of this celebration and the night of inspiration. It is Thursday, March 7th at 6:00. The doors open at the Higher Ground Conference and Retreat Center. You can find more information on our website or on our Facebook page, or you can reach out to us and we would love to connect you. But we'd love for you to be there. It's going to be an amazing night. We have over 300 people already registered, and it's a free night, free dinner.
The key is, though, you have to register. Otherwise, there won't be food for you.
Please
register and we'll get you taken care of there. All right. So thanks again for listening to the Rock Solid Families podcast, building a stronger community, one family at a time. Make it a great day. Rock Solid Families wants to thank Maxwell Construction for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. For over 30 years, Maxwell Construction has been a leader in turning dreams into realities, building schools, banks, restaurants, and many other commercial and public facilities. Maxwell Construction has made it their priority to not just build buildings, but to build into their community. So if you have any construction needs, call them at 812-537-2200. Rock Solid Families wants to thank Casey's Outdoor Solutions for sponsoring the Rock Solid Families podcast. Casey's has grown to be one of the largest and most unique garden centers and gift shops in the Cincinnati tri-state area. Whether you are looking to take on that next landscape project or simply add a little home decor to your house, Casey's has you covered. Located at 21481 State Line Road, Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Call them today at 812-537-3800. Let Casey's help you add beauty to your home.